You gotta love the festive holiday music to open up the show today. Welcome to TYS 20, my monthly podcast where I get 20 minutes to talk sports. And on today's show, it's the NBA preview. Yes, the NBA is finally getting set to tip off in less than a week after a long lockout and after the season looked hopeless at times. But I always thought they would reach a deal and play 60 games or so. Turns out they're going to play 66 games, which actually, if you think about it, makes this season even more intriguing than seasons past because every game means that much more. We're also going to talk about the Big Ten Conference and college basketball and, of course, discuss the now-ranked Indiana Hoosiers after their huge win over number one Kentucky. That's coming up later in the broadcast. But let's talk about the NBA as a whole real quick before we dive into the Pacers preview. As expected, there's been a lot of movement player-wise in the NBA in the last couple weeks. The biggest story, of course, was Chris Paul being traded about 40 different times and then finally being traded to the Clippers. And let me begin by saying this. I couldn't be happier with how the trade turned out. And for those of you who don't know, let me give you a little rundown on why the Chris Paul trade actually helped my team, the Pacers, immensely. Here's some reasons. Number one, had Chris Paul been traded to the Lakers to begin with, David West does not end up in Indiana. He ends up in Boston. See, there were ramifications from that non-trade that David Stern didn't allow to go through, and it trickled all the way down to my team, the Pacers, and David West is a huge addition to my team, and we'll talk more about him later on. But that's number one. Number two, anywhere but New York is where I wanted Chris Paul to end up. The last thing we need in the East is another powerhouse, a team full of superstars. Now, the Knicks are going to be improved already with Tyson Chandler coming over. They've got one of the best front courts in the league with Chandler, Stoudemire, and Carmelo. So I didn't want Chris Paul going there and making them title contenders. Now, Chris Paul may very well end up there next year when he's a free agent. But so far, CP3 is saying that he would love an extension in Los Angeles. So keep him out west. That would be fine with me. And the third reason is I think this trade improves the Pacers' chances of getting Eric Gordon next year. See, the Clippers wanted to extend Eric Gordon if he stayed. Now he plays for the Hornets. Now, one thing you got to know is he's going to be a restricted free agent next year, not a straight-up free agent. And Larry Bird has stated that the Simon family does not want to go after restricted free agents. But you can't tell me that Simon couldn't have a change of heart come next year if Eric Gordon is still sitting there being somewhat available. And we're still going to have lots of cap space. And we're possibly, at that point, going to be maybe one piece away from being serious contenders. So if you think about all these reasons, there's no guarantees that we get Eric Gordon. There's no guarantees that Chris Paul doesn't end up in New York eventually. But I do think the chances are better for those things to happen in our favor had things, well, for how the things ended up going down, all thanks to the crazy David Stern. Now, other notable happenings in the NBA, Lamar Odom to the Mavericks was a shocker. Dwight Howard is still in Orlando. Boston's Jeff Green is out for the season, and they lost Big Baby in free agency. So if you think about this, Boston and the Lakers, the two well-known powerhouses of the NBA, might be in some trouble this year. They each have less depth. They each have aging teams, and now they have to each play more games in a shorter period of time. So it's hard to bet against these franchises, but they might be in some trouble. Now, some other things. Rip Hamilton went to Chicago. Jamal Crawford to Portland. Not sure if I'm leaving out any big names, any notable moves. Nene stayed in Denver for a ridiculous amount of money. There are still some free agents out there, even though the preseason has already started, so we'll have to keep an eye out for other big moves being made. And with that, we bring in our Pacers insider, Chris Goff. Welcome back to the show, Chris. How you been?
Hey, Tyler. I'm much better now that the lockout's over, and I'm ready for some basketball. Start playing the NBA on NBC theme again.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's great. I didn't think it would take this long to have you on the show, but this offseason hasn't been exactly what we thought it would be. But you look at what the Pacers have done, and they've brought in George Hill, David West. They traded Rush to get the backup big that we needed. Paul George keeps growing. He's going to be 8 feet tall by next week, I think. And they're a year older. They're coming off some playoff experience. How do you feel from top to bottom about the Pacers' offseason as a whole?
I feel good. It was a really good offseason. They made some moves that I liked, and they did make some other moves that were rumored that I didn't like. Last time I was on your show, Tyler, you asked me what was the best-case scenario for the Pacers this offseason. I said, I think it's getting David West. And, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, but that actually happened for Indiana. And David West couldn't be a better fit. He's the power forward that they've been wanting. Indiana's had a hard time over the past few years getting easy baskets. And David West, with his jump shooting, with his ability to play in the post, and with his ability to be a number two scorer alongside Granger, is going to get those easy baskets. I think the Pendergraft signing, he's 6'9", he replaces McRoberts. I don't know a lot about Pendergraft, to be honest. You told me he was a former first-round pick, so I assume there's some promise there. Louis Amundsen is another guy for depth. He'll be the third-string center, go out and defend people. Just a lot of solid moves, and the cherry on all of that was the George Hill signing, which I thought he helps the Pacers right away better than any first-round draft pick could. He's a guy who can get his own shot. He can pass the ball, play both guard spots. He's been on a championship team, and he's an Indiana boy to boot. So Indiana had a good offseason. They didn't spend a lot of money. They retained their cap flexibility going forward, and I think it was everything you wanted to see from the team. I wasn't as much a fan of the Jamal Crawford stuff. I thought Crawford and Hill had a lot of the same skills, so I was glad that didn't happen. And the overall contract for Nene, I think, what was it, like $70 million? Nene would have been an okay fit, but that was a little bit too much money, and it would have really hampered Indiana going forward. The Pacers are in great shape thanks to this offseason, no question.
Yeah, it's been great, and Larry Bird's really been patient enough for deals to fall in his lap. And you talk about George Hill and David West both. And so I think given the situation, he didn't overspend really on anybody, and I think it was one of the best offseasons that we could have going forward, knowing that we still have that cap space. I will say this. I still think the Pacers need a bruiser down low who can be a force and bring some muscle down there. You know, back in the glory days, we had Rick Smits. He was a real good center, but I think he was better because he had a guy like Dale Davis by his side doing some dirty work. So I think we need one of those types still, but I do love what David West brings to this team with leadership, experience, basketball IQ. He can score. And also, we can't overlook the fact that him and Darren Collison played very well together in New Orleans. Now, this team has – oh, go ahead, yeah.
One other point, if I may jump in real quickly here, that I liked about the offseason. All of the guys that they signed, the main three guys, Amundsen, George Hill, and David West, have all been major parts of playoff teams, teams that have gone deep in the playoffs and teams that have winning traditions. And the Pacers have a lot of guys who have won in college but not in the NBA, so I think these new additions to the team can set an example.
Absolutely, and we can't overlook that as well. It's no secret this team has a ton of depth, maybe one of the most deep teams in the NBA, which is really going to be a big deal when it comes to a shortened season. But let's talk about what the key for this season is. For me, it's still this question. Can we find a way to win the close ones? That's been the Achilles heel of this team for a while now, and we don't have a superstar. So can we find guys who will hit the last shot in games and make plays on the defensive end? To me, that's the difference of this team of making a huge jump or a minor jump this season. But what is your key to this season?
Well, I think it's how well are the young players going to improve. We saw from Roy Hibbert and Darren Collison last year, Tyler Hansbrough as well. Some games they were spectacular. They were on top of all the plays. They were in it from the first jump ball to the last buzzer of the fourth quarter. But you didn't see that consistency from those guys. And Darren Collison in particular has got to be a lot better. 13 points and 5 assists is not going to get it done. from the point guard position. So there's already talk of him being challenged by George Hill. Darren Collison has got to facilitate the offense, and he's got to score like he did as a rookie playing with David West in New Orleans, because I think there are going to be a lot more pick-and-roll plays this year with Darren Collison and David West. So he's got to make the right decisions. But the Pacers have a lot of young talent. I don't see a lot of all-star potential in that talent other than Paul George. But Paul George, Darren Collison, Roy Hibbert, Tyler Hansbrough, even Lance Stephenson might get some run this year. How well those guys improve are going to dictate where the Pacers finish in the East, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to see how it pans out. We've got a good group of guys, and I just think it's going to be an exciting season. And like you said, can't wait for it to start, less than a week away. And I want to ask now, this is really difficult, especially in this shortened season, but if you were a betting man, let's hear your prediction for the Eastern Conference from 1 through 8 and where you think the Pacers will finish in that mix. I'm assuming you've got them in the playoffs at least.
Absolutely. I think the Pacers are a playoff team. My one concern with Indiana being a playoff team is the injury situation, and that's something that really destroys NBA teams. It's what happened in Milwaukee last year, and the Pacers were actually one of the healthiest teams in the NBA last year. Only three teams had fewer missed player games to injury than Indiana did, so the health is a concern, but as long as the health is there, I think Indiana will make the playoffs. I think Miami is the best team in the Eastern Conference. Miami and Chicago are really that top tier. Miami went to the finals last year in the first year of LeBron and Wade playing together. They're only going to get better. You can deny it if you like, but it's a fact, in my opinion. So Miami, Chicago. Then I look at that second tier, Tyler, and I have no idea. The Knicks just signed Tyson Chandler. That makes their defense better, but they lose Chauncey Billups out of the backcourt. Relying on Baron Davis is a risky proposition. They're very thin at shooting guard. And the front court between Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire, those guys need so many shots. I'm not sure how they play together. I have no idea where the Knicks finish. I have no idea where the Celtics finish. They're an aging team. Rajon Rondo's name was dragged through every trade rumor from here to Japan for the last month. How is he going to react? He's a bit of a head case. Kevin Garnett's knee is not getting any healthier. So Boston's up in the air. Atlanta's up in the air. They continue to make no major additions, which they have not done for the last 5 years or more. And Orlando's going through the Dwight Howard situation. So I think the table is set up for Indiana to finish as high as sixth seed or even a 5 seed in the Eastern Conference if everything goes right.
Yeah, I'm with you on the top, Miami and Chicago. I don't see any way, any scenario that those are not the top two teams. And then, like you said, it gets real tricky after that, and I have no idea what to expect out of Orlando this year. They could be a good team and really bounce back from all the trade rumors. They did add a few players, I think. But as far as the Knicks go, they don't have very much depth, which could hurt them in a shortened season. They do have one of the best front courts, definitely, in the conference. I also think a team like Philadelphia is a real wild card. They struggled at the beginning of last year, then they really got hot towards the end of the season. But for now, I have no idea what to do, but other than stick with Boston at 3, Orlando at 4, I'm giving the Pacers at 5. I think the highest that we could go is actually 3rd. I don't expect it to happen, but I do think that is where this team could possibly go. I've got New York at 6, Philly at 7, and I'm even going to say that the New Jersey Nets will have a chance with the Hawks to get that 8 seed. But don't forget that the 8 seed Knicks went to the finals the last time there was a shortened season. So these seedings could mean absolutely nothing come playoff time. But hopefully the Pacers are in the mix and at least get us one postseason series win this year. That'd be nice, and maybe another shot to play the 1 seed this time in the second round. How about that?
Yeah, it'd be great. I'll tell you what, Tyler, I think the good prototype, the model for the Pacers would be the Atlanta Hawks later in the last decade. They were a bad team. They had a string of bad seasons. And then in 2007, 2008 season, I believe it was, they got the number 8 seed in a weak year in the Eastern Conference. They finished 37-45. and they actually took the eighth or the number one seed Boston Celtics to seven games. It's very similar to what Indiana did with the Chicago Bulls and making the playoffs last year. And the very next season after Atlanta had that experience, the benefit of that emotional playoff series, they improved their record to 44-38. And I think Indiana could do the same thing this year. So obviously it's a shorter season. So I'm looking for Indiana to win maybe 35, 36 games this year.
That's a good comparison, but it also scares me a little bit because I've been actually talking on the podcast before that I hope the Pacers don't turn into the Hawks long term because the Hawks, though they've been impressive a little bit in the season, they haven't accomplished anything. I don't want us to be that young team that is good but not good enough. I'm hoping that we can make some noise and maybe get one or two moves away from being serious contenders by next year. But we got about a minute left for you here on the show, and if you have anything you'd like to add as far as NBA or Pacers, now's the time.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the big question that's going to hang over the NBA this year is where is Dwight Howard going? And I hope he doesn't go to the Lakers. I despise the Lakers. I don't care for that team very much. But my biggest fear, Tyler, is that he's going to go to the Chicago Bulls for a package built around Joakim Noah, maybe Taj Gibson and some other young players that they have. And that would really shut the East off for a number of years, I think, with Derrick Rose. Rip Hamilton, who's going to enjoy resurgence, and Dwight Howard. So let's hope as Pacers fans that that worst-case scenario, Dwight Howard to the Bulls, doesn't happen. In the meantime, people of Indiana have got to support this team. Pacers were dead last in attendance last year. There's no excuse for that happening again. Come out and support this team. They're good.
Absolutely, and the Colts suck, so now's a good time, right?
Better than ever.
All right, well, Chris, it's been great having you on the show as always, and it's just fun to be talking about basketball. Can't wait for it to start up, and we'll talk more as the season goes, rooting on those Pacers. All right.
Take care, Tyler. Merry Christmas.
You too. All right, we've got a few minutes left on the show today, and we're going to switch our focus to college basketball. And for Indiana Hoosier fans, you just can't get enough of this call.
2-point lead, no timeouts for Indiana. Jones. Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Oh! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Can't believe it!
4 years of frustration all being let out right there with one shot by Christian Watford, and the Hoosiers, currently ranked nationally and are 11-0. And not only are they looking more like a lock for the tournament every day, but they're looking like they might have a chance to really do some things this year and maybe even get a good seed in the tournament. Now, a lot can change, obviously. The Big Ten Conference play is a different animal. And, you know, with injuries and some guys go through slumps, some guys can't handle the pressure of winning and all that stuff. But I love what I'm seeing with the Hoosiers. I originally picked them to finish sixth in the Big Ten this year. But I think they're going to have a shot at third or fourth. Now, assuming Solinger is healthy, Ohio State's probably going to win this conference. I would think that Wisconsin would finish second. Michigan State, to me, has a good shot at third. But then you have IU, Illinois, and Michigan, all who are pretty similar teams. Northwestern and Purdue not far behind. Both of those teams have a shot at the dance, too. I think with Minnesota's big injury, they're probably not in the discussion anymore for the for the NCAA tournament. But it feels good for the Hoosiers and, you know, for the Pacers. We've been talking about, too, to have good basketball teams again in Indiana. And I've been saying it for 2 years that this would be the year that each team makes their big jump back towards the top. And I warned people to get their cheap shots in because the time was soon coming when they wouldn't have anything left to say. And I actually wrote an article entitled A Message to IU Haters. And it's still on our website if you want to check it out, tylerdavisonsmith.com or tywise20.com. You can follow the links. And in that article, I really laid out how much Indiana really lost and how it would probably take other programs between 6 and 10 years to get over what IU has gotten over in 3+ years. So hats off to Tom Crean and the Hoosiers. Conference play begins December 28th. And it's just a good time, once again, to enjoy Indiana basketball at both the collegiate and professional levels. Keys to IU season, come conference play. Of course, stay healthy. Keep Zeller out of foul trouble, which he's done an excellent job of so far. Stay hungry, no matter how much success they may have. And how will they bounce back once they start losing a few games? They're not going to go undefeated this year by any means. This team hasn't had to face that kind of adversity yet. So how will they bounce back if they lose a game or two? The first two conference games are extremely tough, Ohio State and Michigan State. This team could very easily go 0-2 in their first two conference games. Can they bounce back from that, remain confident, remain positive that they can go places? So I'm excited to watch. We are out of time. Hope you all have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll be back for another show in January. As Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. Take care.